Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Childcare is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Logic doesn't work anymore. We have entered an environment in which thinking doesn't count.
We have all these kids today who really have been cheated by our society, and they feel that deeply inside them, and they can't really name it. And so they latch onto these social justice causes as a way to kind of validate and make them feel good.
They're calling them commemorations. The Reformation is not being celebrated. You commemorate something that is dead. So Rome is commemorating the Reformation.
And that's what's so wonderful about our Lutheran understanding of the Word and the sacraments, even of the liturgy, that Christ is there in our presence.
This is Jeff in Michigan, and I'm a woodworker listener. We love Issues Etc.
I think it has long been suspected that after 30-plus years, no more than 40-plus years, the decades add up of legalized abortion, sooner or later, the apathy might turn to passion on one side or another. Either you're pro-choice or you are pro-life. Well, it seems to be a stalemate at this point, according to some new polling data, but the interesting thing in this new data has to do with the Democratic Party, and it's kind of by attrition or something else, becoming more and more pro-choice, even more than it was to begin with. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, July the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about some new polls on party affiliation and opinions about abortion. Dr. Michael New will be our guest. D.C. McAllister from The Federalist joins us after that. There's a recent Teen Vogue column teaching teenagers how to have, what shall we call it? You might want to cover your kids' ears for this one. We'll just say non-coital sexual activities. And we'll get into that subject with D.C. McAllister in about a half hour here on the program. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us for part five of our series on Martin Luther's prayers, Luther's sacristy prayer. If you haven't been into the sacristy, that little room off of the chancel in your church that's often there where the sacrament is prepared, perhaps where the pastor may vest before the service. You may not have seen this, but it might hang as a plaque or a picture in there. Luther's sacristy prayer talks a lot about, well, how he is not fit to do this office that God has placed him in, and praying that God would, not through him, prevent it all coming to ruin. We'll talk about that one with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Then Pastor Rob Kieslowski will join us from Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries to talk about heroin addiction in the inner city. There's a new poll on party affiliation and abortion. Joining us to talk about it, Dr. Michael New. He's a regular guest, associate professor of economics at Ave Maria University, associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and author of a recent column for National Review Online titled New Polls Show Party Polarization on Abortion. Dr. New, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
What does this new poll and its findings, what implications does it have on the two parties respectively, Democratic and Republican?
Well, I think for the Republican Party, the poll kind of shows that Americans have kind of reached a kind of a stalemate when it comes to public opinion on abortion, that for a long time, pro-life trailed pro-choice as far as how people identify themselves. As recently as, say, 1995, only 33% of Americans is identified as pro-life, and that was kind of a stalemate. I think in the past 13 Gallup polls, six have shown a pro-life plurality, six have shown a pro-choice plurality, and one was a tie.
So as the pro-life position has made some gains, you know, that's helped Republicans kind of in the long term. And one kind of good thing for Republicans in this poll is that it shows that the percentage of independents who identify as pro-life has gone up. So essentially, some people in the past thought the pro-life issue scared away swing voters, but it may be actually attracting swing voters. And the fact that more independents identify as pro-life is something that probably works well for Republican candidates running nationally and in most local races. As far as Democrats, that's kind of what's really interesting, that a much higher percentage of Democrats identify as pro-choice in this poll. You've seen big gains, according to two polls, one from Gallup, one from Rasmussen, that really shows over time that the Democratic Party, people who identify as Democrats, identify as quote-unquote pro-choice. And I think that has some pretty troubling implications. I think what's happened is that for a long time, part of the Democratic Party's base includes a lot of senior citizens, a lot of ethnic voters, a lot of Catholics, people kind of came of age during the Great Depression. These people were socially moderate to socially conservative, and they did moderate the Democratic Party's stances on some social issues to a certain extent. A lot of these folks have since passed away, leaving behind a Democratic Party that's a lot more liberal on social issues. So there's been a lot of talk in Democratic circles about, you know, reaching out to more moderate voters, trying to take more moderate stances, and I think that there's some merit to that. But the problem is, I think anyone who has moderate views on abortion or social issues is going to have a very tough time getting his party's nomination, especially if that person's a Democrat.
Does that go for all levels of the Democratic Party? What we've observed in the past, Dr. New, is that you could safely be a pro-life Democrat if you were in a municipality or even at the state level, but the minute you wanted to step onto the national stage, you pretty much had to moderate that position, if not become entirely pro-choice.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, that having done pro-life political work for a while, there are a fair number of Democrats serving in local office who are pro-life. They're state legislators or city councilmen, and these people are fairly common in the Rust Belt, in places like Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania. I think part of the problem is that if you want to run for statewide office, you need to raise a lot of money. And groups that support legal abortion have money to give away. You know, essentially, I think that some of these people, sadly, abandon their pro-life position. They get aspirations for higher office. You know, I think that's unfortunate. That said, I think that, as far as in the general election go, I think what would really be helpful for the Democratic Party is to have one person sort of really break through, win a statewide race on a pro-life platform. I think that would show it could be done, that abortion rights groups aren't gatekeepers, but someone kind of has to have the courage to do it, raise the money, and run a competitive campaign.
It does invite an interesting hypothetical, because you mentioned in 1992... would-be President Bill Clinton ran on a platform with regard to life that abortion ought to be safe, legal, and rare. And that really resonated with a lot of, even with people who were pro-choice at the time. Could that 1992 Bill Clinton get his party's nomination to run for president today, running on that platform?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think that a past generation of Democrats were pretty shrewd about how they handled the issue. I mean, I think from a policy perspective, Clinton offered pro-lifers almost nothing. But he rhetorically could make them, you know, feel comfortable. He didn't come off as a abortion rights radical when he ran. And I think one other smart thing that Democrats of his generation did was they didn't push hard for public funding of abortion. They were at peace with the world where abortion was legal, but by and large, at least at the federal level, not funded with taxpayer dollars. So I think that nowadays you give a lot of people in the Democratic Party who really want to push back. They want to make an issue of the Hyde Amendment. They want to see taxpayer funding for abortion. It's possible that he could get the nomination, but he'd have to, there'd be some pushback. I don't recall anybody in 1992 on the Democratic Party really strongly and vocally opposing the Hyde Amendment. Now many do. Hillary Clinton publicly opposed it. I think that was pretty foolish of her. That did not help her in the election.
With that said, I guess one wonders whether or not the party leadership, despite kind of a mixed message on whether or not pro-lifers are welcome in the Democratic Party of late, do you think that they are going to learn a lesson from the Clinton campaign of 2016 and say, look, we got to back off. At least rhetorically, we got to back off on this issue.
I think there's people in the Democratic Party with kind of a range of opinions. I think some smart political analysts would definitely say back off, don't push hard on taxpayer funding for abortion. But then again, you know, nominations are decided not by party leaders or analysts, but by voters. And there is a base that strongly supports legal abortion that probably in many cases does support taxpayer funding of abortion, and you will have a candidate who will try to take advantage of that. So in a primary, you will have a candidate who will come out in favor of that. That will attract some primary voters. So it's going to be a tough needle to thread. You know, it's possible, but I think that there is a vocal constituency that does want to see things like taxpayer funding for abortion, and that will make it difficult for a candidate who does not support that.
To the Republicans, what's the message of the latest poll with respect to the upcoming midterms and another run at the White House in 2020?
Well, I mean, essentially, I've always felt the pro-life position's a winner for Republicans. That if you look at the way single-issue voters vote, you know, they're much more likely to vote pro-life than pro-choice. We've known that for a long time. Right now, I think there's kind of a little bit of a stalemate. Sometimes when Republicans are in the White House, you do see quote-unquote pro-choice sentiment gain a little bit. I mean, obviously, Trump is a very polarizing figure. He takes stances on a lot of things that not everybody agrees with. But I think the life issue is a winner for him. I think pro-lifers are very happy with the Supreme Court nomination that he was able to get through. And I think that you know, they're happy with a lot of other things he's done as well. I think certainly if things go badly in 2018 or 2020, I don't think it's going to be because of the life issue.
You began by saying that what we're observing here in terms of public opinion, at least by the bare statistic of who identifies as pro-life versus pro-choice, we're at a multi-year stalemate, kind of seesawing back and forth. What are your expectations for the, at least the kind of the middle term future on that? Where do you think it will trend?
I think it's going to keep trending pro-life. I think one thing we've noticed that's very interesting is that the current generation of young people tend to be a lot more pro-life than previous generations of young people. Every year, every 2 years, there's something called the General Social Survey, and they've been asking the same battery of questions on abortion since the early 70s. And during the 70s and 80s, they'd find that young adults, 18 to 29, were in some cases the most pro-choice and almost always more pro-choice than average. But starting in 2000, you know, they found that young adults actually were a lot more pro-life than in the past. So I think that, you know, ultrasounds and some other developments have played a role in that. And it's interesting. This generation of young people, you wouldn't actually expect to be pro-life. They tend to have fairly liberal views about gay rights. They tend to have fairly liberal views about a lot of social and sexual issues. They're not very religious. But on the life issue, they're different than other generations of young people. They are more pro-life. So I do think that you know, the pro-life movement is going to make some quiet but steady gains in the court of public opinion, and the future looks bright.
Is that going to benefit Republicans or Democrats? It sounds like you're describing Democrats with respect to many of the issues the Democratic Party has scooped up, and perhaps pro-life as an exception with those young people.
I mean, I think on balance, you know, certainly the fact that young people are more pro-life than their predecessors is going to help the Republican Party. I think that there's some questions about how they want to engage other social issues. But I think that, you know, people are persuadable. And I think that's always one thing pro-lifers should take heart in. That I think that, you know, I don't really have a good sense of how the Republican Party should message itself on some of the other issues. But I do think on the life issue, they're certainly on the right side of it. And if you know, things go sour, I don't think it's because of the life issue. I just think it's a failure to really engage young people on other issues.
Dr. Michael New is Associate Professor of Economics at Ave Maria University and Associate Scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, author of a recent column for National Review Online titled "New Polls Show Party Polarization on Abortion." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. New, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Thanks for having me.
If you have young kids listening along with you, you might just want to put your hands over their ears for the next 15 minutes or so. We're going to be talking about a recent Teen Vogue column and anal sex with DC McAllister after this.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org.